It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
All right. Can you tell we're wearing the same outfit? Do you remember what positions we were in? Because for us, it has been, what would you say, 15 seconds?
Yeah, not a minute.
Nothing. No. We sat in silence. It was very awkward.
Yep.
Cold, really.
A little frightening.
Just sort of stared off into the middle distance.
Mm-hmm.
But we're back on. Here for you.
Yes, it's us.
Ah.
Ready to go.
Yes. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magic Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world. The bug spray. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. This is episode 541, brought to you by Bug Spray.
Achieving new levels of phoning it in. I looked over here, this is where it was. Only podcast in the world, Bug Spray. There you go.
This reminds me. So my wife was telling me about this interaction she had. Maybe I shouldn't have said it was my wife who had this interaction. But anyway, she had this interaction with someone.
It seems a woman had a...
She had an interaction where someone said they were going to play devil's advocate about something, and then she went on with the conversation. And I said, well, you never got around to saying how the person was playing devil's advocate. She was like, yeah, I don't know. So I thought how funny it would be if a person, you know, said just playing devil's advocate here and always said something that wasn't really like... You know, just playing devil's advocate, but bug spray.
The greatest one of that, you will be unsurprised to know, the Simpsons did years ago. I want to say it was Homer. They were having the group was having some conversation, and Homer's like, may I play devil's advocate for a minute? And Marge was like, okay. It's like, thank you. And he walked off, and there's a pinball machine called devil's advocate, and he starts playing it.
I thought it would be funny if someone said, just playing devil's advocate here, but you're stupid. That would be funny.
James,
if someone did that.
James Acaster had a whole bit with some of those where he was like, somebody said, where he learned about the phrase, no pun intended. And so then he used it, but he used it after he said the thing. And he's like, and I was talking to my mom later, and she's like, if you said it, he said it before he said the thing.
Right.
And she's like, if you say it before, it sounds like you did intend.
No pun intended, but and
then exactly, you say the pun. Exactly. It's like that's not how
it works. Yeah. That's good.
For those of you just joining us, we just recorded another episode, so we're a little punchy. And also the bug spray. This is true. We have a hat. It's magical. In that it has its own email. I always feel weird saying we have a hat because you're wearing a hat. And so I'm like, obviously.
Not this
one. Which is why every once in a while I'm like, not that hat. We have a different hat.
Not the hat
off camera.
Off camera hat. But we didn't used to have a camera.
Here so it
we
didn't is. Have to no, wait, that's not it. I'm sorry. That was something else. We have a hat near the bug spray.
He's just playing devil's advocate.
I'm just playing devil's advocate. Hey kids, you should drink bug spray. It tastes like Kool-Aid. Now that's devil's advocate. We have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, and all the good people in the world, all of them, if they don't do this, they're not a good person.
Right
into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, notes, comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat up to now has magically transmogrified those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. And then we, it's Bugspray, people, servants, draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them for about an hour, do that for the whole show, except the points,
whatever.
Bugspray. But soon, once we have finished with these note cards, which will be soon, the hat is just gonna stop wasting paper and just email us the email, so they can be longer emails now, more nuanced, more full, more rambling. I don't know. We'll see what you do. All you lovely people out, good people who write in. So that, yeah, that, here we are. Peter's Donuts. So I think I've talked about this before. There's a game that was invented by, I believe, a group of comedians in the UK called No More Jockeys. And the way the game works is I name a person. I would say, you know, Muhammad Ali. And then I would say no more, and something of which Muhammad Ali fits into the category. So I might say no more boxers, or I might say no more Muslims, or I might say no more dead people, or no more people who famously changed their name, things like that. And then you have to name a person that doesn't fit into, that isn't in that category. So you can't name a boxer, we'll say. And you name a person and you name a category. And then I, or whoever the next player is, has to name a person that is out of both of those categories. And so on and so on and so on. So you have to keep naming people that haven't been excluded already. And of course, it gets harder and harder and harder as you exclude more people. During, I think this is a great game. I think almost all of my friends would be much worse at it than me, so I do not think they would have much fun. So I have never attempted to institute this with people.
It would very quickly, I'd forget
exactly
the excluded things.
So when the pandemic started, British comedians and longtime friends, Alex Horn, Mark Watson, and Tim Key, started playing this over Zoom, recording it, and posting it to YouTube. And it became a hit, and they're still doing it. And I completely forgot why I brought this up. What were we talking about right before this? Sending emails.
Bug spray. Devil's Advocate. I don't know.
There was a point here. Well, there really was a point to this.
Oh!
I remember.
Good.
And as per usual, not going to be worth it.
Oh.
No, I thought about this because when I say here we are, I always nowadays, to the point that I probably would do it not on the podcast, say, at Peter's Donuts, like just to myself. And Alex Horn has one for some reason. I don't know where he's got it from, but anytime someone says, wait a minute, he says, I've done a poo-poo. And it just cracks him up every single time. And he can't like not do it. And he just finds that hilarious. And so I thought, this is my version. Someone said, here we are, I say, at Peter's Donuts. At least his, like, you understand what the bit is. Like in mine, people will be like, what are you talking about? But I like that. I like being mysterious. So how will your week be?
Well, more school.
How many courses are you taking this semester?
Full-time status for this degree is two four credit hour courses.
Oh, but you were only one last time because that was...
That was a odd,
like a J term kind of vibe.
Or it was like everybody in it, this was their first class. So, so somehow the school sets it up so that your first quarter, you only have one course, right, and it's this course.
And now you're doing two,
which is going to be the normal.
And you'll do two forever and ever.
Which is weird because so technically I'm going from part-time to full-time, even though that wasn't my, you know, to me, I started full-time.
Yeah.
That was their decision for me to only take one course. And they the admissions people understand this. They understand.
Yeah.
He was only taking one course because that's the way we decided I was going to go. And now he's taking two. To us, he's always been a full-time, whatever. But to the financial people, I went from being part-time to full-time, which is important because, you know, if you qualify
for more money.
Yeah, you qualify for different whatever. So even though the admissions people understand what's going on, the financial people don't understand. And I have to fill out this. And so my financial aid was messed up there for a while. I had to call somebody and said, "Why? What's going on with my financial aid?" "Oh, we thought you were part-time." "Why?" "Because you only took one class." "Well, that wasn't my choice. That was..." And the admissions people...
Also, everybody does that from what you've said.
Yeah, this is a common thing. It's a common thing, and the admissions people understand. They know I didn't really change anything. So talk to them and work it out. No, I have to fill out a form like I changed something.
It's almost as if this is a shitty online university. Have we, and I'm not saying we should, I'm checking. We haven't specified what school you're going to, right? We will leave it that way because there's no such thing as too small to be sued. But so, you might be going to a shitty online university.
So it's like, so
nice cap, by the way.
Wait, it gets better. Maybe this will be humorous. I don't know. But so
I feel like you should start every sentence that way.
Here's the thing. All right. So I have to fill out this thing. It makes no sense. The other side of the school knows what's going on and this side doesn't. Whatever. I'll fill out the form. So they send me the form or they direct me to where I can download the PDF. That sounds is the form.
More. Yeah.
So I'm looking at the PDF.
Give you the email of the dude to email to get the link.
And I get down to the bottom. And it says, "Sign this in ink." I think to myself, "Oh, okay, we'll see." So, but it also says, "Upload it when you're done." So
you have to have both a printer and a scanner.
Right. But there's no instruction to send it to them. So even though I'm signing it in ink, I'm going to keep this ink signed copy for myself.
Wait, what?
Right. Just like,
sign it in ink, upload it to your computer?
Well, upload it to them. Like there's a place if I scan it or if I take a picture of it on my phone,
I
can upload the file of the image file and then they'll have it. But this thing that I printed out and signed in ink, I'm just going to keep, I guess.
Oh, no. Yeah. I, as much as I don't like the school that you go to, welcome to industry standard 2021.
Okay, so
like working at ACT, this kind of shit happened all the time.
Well, so this is what happened. So to be sure, they didn't expect me to mail it to them because they didn't ask. And it seemed like if I'm signing it ink, they must want it. I said, "This is how I understand the instructions. You want me to print it out. You want me to sign it in ink. You want me to scan it. You want me to send you the file, but you want me to keep the signed copy. Is this what I'm supposed to do?"
And they said, "New phone, who dis?"
There's a couple ways you can contact this. You can text them, you can email them, and I did both. These are both supposed to be ways for you to get a quick answer.
Oh shit, I think I know how the story goes.
And they answered like in 2 and 3 days apiece.
Okay.
So this is what I said. The first one I just said in text. I said, "Yes, print it out and sign it in ink."
Okay. What they both said, both versions said that?
No, this is what the text said.
The text said that. Okay. Yeah.
They didn't address the scanning part. They didn't address any.
Well,
of the
but
of
they
it.
Said yes. So, all right.
That's what I did. I already said, "You want me to print it and sign an ink." I get that part. But this whole process is what I wanted to know. I wanted to know all five things, not just one thing. So I said again, "Do you want me to do all these things?" And then they said yes to the second thing. And it just kept going back and forth like that, like every 2 days, by the way. I was texting them and they weren't texting you.
So
right
you
back.
Say them, but probably it was a bot.
No, because it was signed by a person and there is a bot. And I know what the bot's like. No, these were just people. And so I emailed them too, just in case I'd get a better answer from email. That also took several days But they did the same thing. They just answered like one point. They didn't seem to understand. I was asking, here's a process. Say yes or no to the whole process. They were just saying yes or no to like one point of it.
I really thought this story was going to end with the two different versions telling you different things.
Well, that has happened too, because I've asked before. There's two different text numbers they say to use to talk to the financial aid office. I've said, what's the real number? And I've got two answers. One says, this is the real number. And the other says, this is the real number. So they don't even know themselves.
Did one of them mean mathematically, like a real number as opposed to an imaginary number?
Nope. And again, it's not like I'm just getting like poor quality information from them. I'm getting it like 2 and 3 days later in text, which again, I only signed up for text because they told me this is a quick way to get to contact us and to get information back. And it's no faster than email. And email is also terrible. Yeah. So it's like, what is wrong with this place?
In the modern era, I mean, we're moving beyond this because we're getting
into... Why do I have to sign this in ink?
Because we're moving into DocuSign things, but it's happening slowly. The reason you have to do this is nobody wants to deal with any physical material whatsoever, but they want your signature. And so that's the only way they can think of to do that, which is hilarious because, not going to say many specifics here, but sometimes a very important person at a company will give a very lowly person at a company an actual JPEG of their signature. And anytime there's shit for them to sign, that person will just email someone and say, I approve this. And that person will take that JPEG and stick it on that fucking PDF.
That's right.
Save it again as a new PDF and send it off. In theory, the hard copy is supposed to be your last line of defense of evidence that you really did. I don't think it would work. And in the circumstances where I had to do that, I always just secure shredded it as soon as I had uploaded it. It didn't matter. So yeah, some of that is just the dumbness of the world. And we are getting out of this habit because, like, for the mortgage thing we're doing right now, we had to specify, like, I'm saying this, I'm signing, blah, 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 and we didn't have to sign shit. So they are getting around it. But then the rest of that, no, you just, is a terrible school.
But the thing is, it's dumbness on dumbness, right?
Yeah.
It's dumb that I have to tell them what their admissions office already knows. It's dumb that I have to sign it in ink. It's dumb that I have to send 5 texts to ask one question, and it's going to take 2 weeks to get
an answer. We're getting closer and closer to a state where once you are graduated, I am going to have to start an aggressive publicity campaign telling people not to go to you as a counselor because you are completely unqualified. I'll put it this way.
Not because of the school, though, but because I've been driven crazy.
No. In Vampire, the Masquerade, the old role-playing game I used to play.
Fascinating to see where this is going to go.
I know, right? Right?
Boy, cannot wait.
There are various, when you're making your character, there are merits and flaws. And you can be like, my character has this cool thing, and then it costs me some points to make. Or my character has this shitty thing, but then I get extra points to spend elsewhere. And one of the shitty things was called Twisted Upbringing. And what it basically meant is whoever made you a vampire, like, just completely told you bullshit about like how vampires work and the society and all that. So you have no idea what the hell you're doing because they made up some crap.
Like you glow in the sunlight,
or just like whenever you go to a new city, you should, you know, punch the first guy you see, like etiquette things and stuff. Because in the role-playing game, vampires have their whole society and different etiquette rules and stuff like that, and so it just fucked all of that up for you. I feel like this school is doing that to you for your future career.
Well, here's the thing.
Like, he's a counselor, but he's a such and such university counselor.
No.
Wear your special hat.
I was just thinking about this today as I'm doing some work. It's like the text that I'm using for this particular class is so good. And the text for the last class was very good. The information and the learning and stuff is fine. It's the all the stuff around it that just drives you insane. Like, why do I have to do this? Why do I have to think about this? Why in this, why for this exercise do I have to do these six things when ultimately I really just have to do these two things? Stuff like that. But the actual work, the actual material, the textbooks, the other students, by the way, who I interact with, smart people, way smarter than me, and they know a lot more than I do too. So all of that's great. I love interacting with the other students. You know, the teachers are okay. You know, we talked about one incident that was challenging, but for the most part, the teachers are great. It's fine. It's just all of this, like, I'm just doing schoolwork and I'm learning things. And then I get an email from, you know, the finance office saying, what's up with this? And I look, it's like, well, I don't know. why are you asking me? I did all these things I was supposed to do. Oh, well, you have to fill out this paper. Well, nobody told me that. Well, it's because we don't know you're full time. Well, they know I'm full time. Yeah, but we don't know. Well, this is the same place. You need to fill this out. Okay, I'll fill it out. And then it's just stuff like that. It's constant stuff like that, endless stuff like that. And even in the courses, in the lessons, there's not just here, write a paper about this and maybe use these sources. There's this huge long thing and like 9/10 of it you could ignore. Why is it all in there? It's stressful and confusing. So it's the stuff like that. It's not really about this, what you're learning and what kind of education you're getting per se. It's all the administrative stuff they want you to do and the hoops they want you to jump through that seem ridiculous.
I get that. I still think I'm probably going to actively work to make sure you never get a job, but, okay. But I do understand.
It drives me insane. Obviously it bothers me a lot because listen, I'm talking about it. Mm-hmm. It's very frustrating.
If you're bothered by William's schooling, go to the blog, magicaltalkinghead.com.
Well, but I'm, you know, even back when I was an undergraduate, I always chafed under all the stuff you had to do, paperwork you had to fill out, lines you had to stand in for registering and everything. It's like all that stuff always bothered me, which, I mean, it's just what you have to do. But man, I always hated that stuff, that administrative stuff. Did you have to do a lot when you, I mean, I don't know what it was like for you in Grinnell, or, you know, if you had
to. Yeah, I frequently had to go to the financial aid office because something had got weird, or because I had a $54 charge to my phone to call Guyana and I didn't know why.
Really? Did that happen?
That really did happen. And it was legit.
Because you did call them like accidentally? Oh,
well, sort of.
Oh, okay. Did you not want to tell this story?
I'm happy to tell it. You're not going to want to hear it.
Oh, okay. Well,
this was the 90s. Got drunk, was watching TV, saw a number for sex line.
1-900?
Thought number? I'd never called one before. I should give it a try. Called it. Was too scared to pick the option to actually talk to anyone. So listened to pre-recorded shit for like, I think like 5 minutes, and then passed out, forgot about it. And then a month later, walking down the street, opening my mail and literally out loud said, I called Guyana. And then figured out that's where that line went.
Okay. Now here's what would frustrate me about that is how long it would take me to straighten it out. Right. Like that's what would bother me. It's like, I have to go deal with this now. And I've got to go somewhere. First of all, it's going to take me an hour to figure out where to go. Then when I get there, I'm going to have to wait an hour to talk to somebody. And then it might, you know, everything just took 20 times longer than it needed to take. That's what frustrates
me. And there was a huge advantage in Grinnell. The whole place was 2 blocks by 2 blocks.
Well, okay.
With 1,300 students.
Sure,
total.
Sure.
So that resolved, like, but no, there's tons of stuff like that. There's always the fun game of, well, the paperwork's been fucked, so I don't have my financial aid check yet. So let's see what happens first, if I get the check or if they kick me out of the door.
Right.
And that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing, is the consequences of this taking so long isn't just that it annoys me that this took 20 times longer than it needed to. While it's taking that long, bad things could happen. So you're like, oh my gosh.
The power of bureaucracy.
So frustrating.
So William, how will my week be?
you're going to watch a lot of movies. You will like one of them, but it'll mostly be okay. You'll kind of recommend it, but maybe, you know, some people it wouldn't be good for them. The other ones you'll hate, but you'll have a lot more to say about the ones you hate than the one that you like. And then you'll think you have some more to talk about, but you can't remember. And then we'll draw some questions.
Oh, I'm so mad at you right now.
Why?
Because you clearly don't give a shit. Because that would be an incredibly apt description. Any other week. But why are we recording this early?
Because you're going to Virginia Beach.
Yes, to hang out with my family.
So you're gonna do that.
I'm gonna do completely different shit.
That's probably
true. I still may watch some movies at night or whatever, read but more, not maybe. Much. I'm gonna read more. Yeah. I'm gonna play more games. I'm gonna actually socialize more. I'm gonna swim in the ocean a lot. And for the first time ever, I'm gonna have to put goddamn sunscreen on the top of my head.
Or you can wear a hat.
In the ocean? It'll fall off. I'll be in trouble.
Maybe you should wear a cap, like a swimming cap.
No, I don't want to do it.
Okay.
I'll just put some sunscreen up here. I'm gonna have to do that.
But won't that wash off?
It's no more than the other. You buy waterproof stuff
for
swimming. They invented that a while back.
That's good.
They were like, sometimes people worried about sunburns swim.
Yeah.
A lot of them. Let's do that.
And that works. It doesn't wash off.
Reapplying is the thing. If you read the instructions on like any sunscreen, they're like reapply every 2 to 3 hours. All sunscreen. So don't, even if you're not swimming. So, but yeah, they make sport ones that are like sweatproof and waterproof. And
well, all
like
right.
That. And the truth is I'm often not out there for long because I don't hang out on the beach. I'm like, I go out to the beach, I swim. I have fun in the water for a while. When I get out of the water, I go back inside.
Oh.
So not much. The only times I've really gotten sunburned at Virginia Beach is when I forgot to put on any, or I was deliberately like, it's cloudy, I'm not going to be very long. And then I got burned because even when it's cloudy, you can get fucking sunburned.
So the first time, the first time I saw the ocean, I didn't have an opportunity to like get into it. But I think the second or third time I saw the ocean or I was somewhere where the ocean was, I had an opportunity to actually like get into the ocean. And that was a fun experience.
Mm-hmm.
More fun than I think I anticipated it would be. I mean, I'm not even sure what motivated me to do it.
They threw him in.
No, I must have.
I'm really annoyed people.
I must have thought this might be fun. And then it was. I have no interest to ever do it again necessarily. But it, you know, when I did it, the one time I did it, it's like, this is pretty enjoyable.
Which ocean?
This would have been the Gulf. This would have been.
Okay.
I was in Florida.
Because they're not all the same by any stretch, even different parts of it. I grew up in Oregon.
Yeah, the Pacific.
You don't. Yeah, not just the Pacific.
North Pacific.
Yeah. Northwest U.S. You don't go in the water unless it's super warm. And even then, when people surf Oregon coast, they're wearing neoprene wetsuits while they're surfing.
Oh, okay.
I've told about this before. Went with my mother to the beach for the day one time, and I had this fun game I like to do, which was I would sit, I still do it actually, in Virginia, where you sit on the sand just where the waves break and they just knock you around, and it's just funny. I just have fun with it. But I did this on the Oregon coast while my mom laid in the sun and sunbathed. And after we both did these things for like 2 hours, I was freezing to death because it was like 62 degree water or something, and my mother was red as a lobster. And we went to get some dinner before we drove home, and she couldn't even touch anything because she was just bright red all over, and I was so cold that I had an entire mug of hot chocolate and a half a bowl of clam chowder before my teeth stopped chattering.
Wow.
So yeah, we're idiots. But see, none of this works for me because my first experience seeing the ocean, my first experience swimming in the ocean, and several experiences after that were all when I was so young that I don't remember. I was spending time in Hawaii when I was 3. And I grew up an hour and a half from the coast. Like, I've never not known the ocean. So it's always fascinating to me when people talk. I had a teacher who talked about, because they, one year when she was a kid, they had a transfer student, and she had come from the middle of the country, and so she knew about the Great Lakes. but she'd never been to the ocean. And one day she told, she came like on a Monday. She's like, we went to the lake. And they were like, which lake? She's like, the really big one. And it was the ocean.
The really big
one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that just has never registered for me because the ocean has always been there.
Well, mountains probably for you too, right?
Also mountains. Yeah. Also mountains. That was a, that these are funny ones with me and Trish because Trish thought she knew mountains. She meant the Appalachians.
Yeah.
Which is adorable.
Yeah, not the same.
And then, yeah, and then we crossed over the Rockies and she was like, holy shit. And also, she grew up hearing about tide pools and having a book about tide pools and things like that. And then, but they weren't real because she would go to the beach and they weren't, because they weren't on the southern part of the Atlantic Ocean. Then she came out to Oregon and we're like, oh yeah, tide pools, grew up with them all the time, school trips to them, they're all over. And she was so excited because she was like, I didn't think they were real. And to be fair, thanks to climate change and just people being shitty, they aren't what they used to be. But we still could go and we'd be like, hey, see, look at that crab, look at those urchins, look at that sea anemone and that kind of stuff. And that was fun. And also, you know, you'll crack your skull if you walk on that part. Don't do that.
I've only been to the Rockies once, and I was an adult, so that was the first time I'd seen like mountains for real and not in a picture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the Rockies are, as I want to say, Gallagher said, these bitches go straight up.
They're very dramatic.
I have crossed the Rockies in a car, and the thing I remember most about that is the engine in the car had such a hard time at altitude that we had to turn off the air conditioner despite it being the heat of summer because the car couldn't handle going with the air conditioner running. But I always think it's impressive when you fly over them because then you're like, oh, mountains.
I don't do well in the mountains. The first, when I, the
bears,
first, no, when I visited Marble, Colorado, I first I had problems with the altitude, but I mean, you get over that. But there were other psychological things I did not get over. You know, every direction you look, rock, rock, rock. And the mountain is way too high for you to like get to the top of it. And I just did not.
I could get not it even do because that. I had the exact opposite thing moving to this part of the country. All the roads are fucking straight
and go,
and the horizon is flat and the sun sets real goddamn fast. Where I come from is get like, you have huge arguments with your mom shouting down the block like, time to come in, it's not dark yet, I can still see. Here it's like daytime, 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 night. Just instantly. And looking ahead, you, there would always be a hill or a mountain or trees or something. You never just got to see the horizon. And here everything's goddamn flat and everything's on the cardinal directions, which can make it real tricky to drive during the solstices and equinoxes.
Well, I know people don't think of Iowa as, you know, big sky country, but it is.
Compared to, you know.
Yeah, compared to most, a lot of other
nice places. Nice places of the country.
So, yeah, I need mountains. No, I mean, I will visit them again, I'm sure. And I will enjoy going through them, however that is. I prefer by train, probably,
train driving. Nice.
But you know, I don't hope to spend a lot of time there because I just feel claustrophobic. Is what I.
That was the great thing about the Northwest is you got fucking everything.
Within
2 or 3 hours drive from where I was, we had the beach. We had two different mountain ranges. We had a nice valley. We had a big city. We had the high desert. And we had plenty of farmland. All of that stuff was nearby.
Not all of it, yeah.
And some big old rivers. And lots of trees. All right, let's answer some questions quick before the podcast.
And dysentery.
I was always within 2 to 3 hours of dysentery.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
That's an Oregon Trail joke, obviously.
If you said cholera, I think I would have caught on.
Oh, quicker, I thought dysentery was what killed everybody.
Also, so that too is all sorts of ones.
Okay.
Cholera, I think one of the various colored fevers. I don't know if it was red or yellow or one of those.
Colored fever.
Colored blue fever, magenta fever.
That sounds racist somehow.
I know, but I didn't feel comfortable just saying yellow fever in case it wasn't yellow fever. Because I don't know if yellow fever is racist or if it's because it turns you jaundiced. I don't know. No. Well, I've said before too, I always loved the fact that when you win Oregon Trail, you're where I lived.
Yeah, right.
The Willamette Valley. That's how you get. And I was like, hey, we're here. In the same town that had Willamette University.
No, there was no Iowa Trail. No game.
No, like no. Yeah, that was also weird to me because we had Oregon Trails. We have some Oregon Trail historic landmarks in Oregon. Y'all have way more out here.
Yeah, Mormon Trail too.
Like, yeah, yeah. But I was always confused. I was like, it's the Oregon Trail. And it was eventually, oh, it's to Oregon.
It's going to Oregon Territory.
From St. Louis.
Yeah.
It was like a less sexy Route 66. Less sexy, more dysentery.
No, not the title of the podcast. No.
No.
Do not make that the title of the podcast.
No.
I don't want.
No, we know what the title of the podcast is going to be.
Bugspray? Bugspray. Oh, yeah. That's right.
I don't know how to spell it. So it's just going to be Bugspray. No, less sexy. More. No, but I am fiercely proud of using dysentery as an adjective just because it has a Y on the end.
Mm.
Less sexy, more dysentery.
Yeah, both has a Y.
Yeah.
Great.
Did you know that Crosby, Stills, and Nash refer to Neil Young as "and sometimes Young"?
No,
they do. I saw an interview with him sometimes, because that's the thing, is he was always sometimes with him and sometimes he wasn't.
Because
it would be Crosby, Stills, and Nash, or it would be Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, and he would be in and out and in and out, and he starts with a Y, and they're like, "Hey, yeah, you and some." So they call him. It was Crosby, Stills, Nash, and sometimes Young. They thought it's funny. I thought that is funny.
I like that.
All right. This is from Mark McKibben, the once and future hard hat number one. This has been digested, abridged, made smaller. This won't happen in the future.
Nope.
So you're welcome. I don't know. Episode 483. What's today's episode?
This is 541.
So like over a year ago. You talk about a theoretical film where William's organs get put in Tony's body. Who would be cast as Tony and as William? I don't remember this at all.
Did we really do that?
I don't remember. That's this weird. At all. Back in the 400s, we were taking every drug we could get our hands on. We must have been
thinking about those films where when you get a criminal's arm put on
you. Or that, like the John Mulaney romantic comedy where two people got Jerry Orbach's eyes
or whatever. So that if you got my organs, how would you still be Tony?
Right. It must have been that.
Something like
that. I don't know. Again, so much shit. Like he would come over here already plastered. And we would just dig around, antifreeze, drain cleaner. We smoked one of my cats. That's why he's not around anymore. It was crazy.
My sister-in-law thinks if I was cast in, or someone was cast as me in something, it would be Tom Hiddleston. She thinks that we resemble one another. I don't think so, but that's what she thinks.
I had somebody for you the other day.
Oh, no.
No, it was a good one. You and Larry Cedar might be the same age. I think he might be a very good choice for you. And you probably don't know him, but you've seen him in 1,000 things.
Okay.
I know Larry Cedar from a old public television show called Square One TV that taught you all about math, and it was a bunch of sketch comedy.
Oh, I remember that. Was he the tall guy?
He was the blonde guy with a more prominent nose.
Was he one of the agents?
No, he was not one of the agents.
Oh. Okay, so he wasn't that guy.
Not in the math police or whatever
it was. MathNet.
MathNet. Yeah, it wasn't in MathNet. No, he was one of the regular sketch ones that did all the stuff. I remember him as the guy who had to learn about Roman numerals because they were recording a pop song and he kept saying the Roman numerals as letters.
Like V and I and stuff.
Yeah. This reminded me of something I realized the other day. The Nanny.
The TV show?
Yes, 90s sitcom starring
Fran Drescher
And
And what was that guy?
I don't know. He's been in a lot of stuff too. Anyway, I would not say I was a fan of that show. I watched, I mean, it was still at the tail end of the period of my life where I would just watch any sitcom. So I probably have seen a dozen episodes over the course of years, like most of them in syndication, but not a ton. I wasn't a huge fan, but I realized, and in fact confirmed the other day, I know absolutely every note and word of the fairly long and detailed theme song from that show.
Well, I didn't even know it had.
Yes. Theme song. Oh yeah, it has a whole very specific theme song that like tells the story of how the show's. Yes.
I do not remember that.
And so iconic, in fact, that there is a joke at one point in one of the episodes where she's explaining to somebody how she got to this point in her life, and she just starts reciting the lyrics to it. Yes. They basically, the theme song basically describes the pilot episode.
Oh.
And it's very, it's got verses and like, and I know the whole fucking thing and the whole tune dead on. And I hate that that's how brains work. There are so many things I've forgotten that I would rather have in there.
Mm-hmm. I can relate to that for sure.
But so that's there anyway. I think Larry C would be good, but I totally thought I picked somebody just the other day. Cause I do that. The whole cast people in movies thing is something I do a lot. And the weird thing is with consistently with you, I have picked people that are nothing like you, but something about something physical makes me think of you, but not just like they look like you as like in a still photo, but something about mannerism or pattern of speech or something reminds me of you, even though there was a stand-up I used to think was very much you, and like I don't think you two would even get along. He doesn't like it, it's I don't think you'd appreciate his comedy, but like for some reason.
But there was somebody just the other day.
I don't know. I think Larry Cedar would be good for you.
Joe Pera could play me.
Joe Pera.
Yeah.
No, you could play Joe Pera. I don't know if Joe Pera could play you.
Do you think we'd be better cast as like if they cast women, would that be easier? Do you think women would have an easier time playing us than men?
No. I wanted to buy in on this, but I'm like, no, I really don't.
The reason I ask is because I was really fascinated by how in that one thing about Dylan, they had Kate Blanchett play Dylan in a section.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So fascinating. I thought, wow, that's really, I guess I can't really articulate what made it interesting, but it was super interesting.
Very clearly you're hinting that Tilda Swinton should play you in the movie. I'm going to counter that and say Timothy Chalamet. No, wait, Finn Wolfhard should play you. We'd have to put some lifts in him so he'd look taller, but I don't know. I might be sticking to Larry Cedar, and I think you guys are of comparable age, so that could be good. Classic ones for me, people have talked about before. I got Robin Williams a lot. In a more modern age, I get Seth Rogen sometimes. Oliver Platt, I think, is a good standby for me.
Yeah, I like Oliver Platt.
If I smoked more, Harvey Fierstein, I think, would be good.
Some of those people are too old, though.
Some of those people are too dead.
Well, besides that.
Yeah. Well, I'm more concerned about that.
The dead ones.
Yeah. I would rather have someone a different age from me attempt to fake it playing me than for movie producers to defile a corpse and animate it through a pulley system to play me.
I mean,
but that's just me.
There'd be very vivitude in that.
kind of skid it out there, didn't you?
Yep. I had it.
Yeah, no.
And then I didn't have it.
And it was solid. And I honestly appreciated the pronunciation. What you had were two unrelated jokes that did not go together.
No, yeah, that's right. That's
like in a different circumstance, each of those was funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But they didn't.
Yeah, if I workshopped it, I would have figured that out.
I'd halfway be tempted to call the episode Verisimilitude, but I don't know how we'd spell that. So the point is, yes, I am operated by a rough system of pulleys. I'm not going to say by whom, but it's out there. It's time we admitted that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh! I got three words for you.
Go away.
Mary Tyler Moore.
Three syllables.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He doesn't look it, but I feel like he could do it.
No, yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
Also, if you ever want to cheat out of any of these, just always say Daniel Day-Lewis. It would take him 2 years to get ready. He'd be nutting the shit out of me, but he could do it. No, I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt could do well.
Shia LaBeouf
could do it. Thomas Middleditch. Actually, Thomas Middleditch could be really good.
Let's face it, I wouldn't be hard to play by just about anybody.
No, but there's also a thing of playing you in a somewhat accurate portrayal while also making you interesting.
Well, yeah, that would be the challenge.
And I feel right? like Middleditch could make that happen.
I can't even make me interesting. Yeah. That's good.
I have a doughy white guy with beard is a genre of actor, so there's no short. I mean, basically every actor who played the dad in any 90s sitcom could be me. Kevin James, Jim Belushi, the dude in Still Standing.
Isn't Kevin James close to your age?
I don't know. I don't keep track of how old Kevin James is.
I mean, I like Kevin James. So.
You do?
Sure.
Huh.
What? Is that bad? Is he bad? Why are you like that?
What do you like about him?
I think he's funny, I guess.
So like his stand-up? Or like you watch a lot of his movies? Or okay, were you a big... King of Queens,
I know,
dude. So I mean, what are you into?
He's got a YouTube channel where he does these shorts, and I think they're pretty funny.
All right.
He's got this bit where he plays a sound guy, and you know how people can like put people in actual movies like they were really there.
Mm-hmm.
He's got this bit where he's the sound guy, and they're putting him in this actual scenes and actual movies. And they're pretty funny. I mean, I think they're funny.
I am not opposed to Kevin James.
Wow. It feels like our friendship's being
No. But we're fine.
Okay, good.
I just look at you in a new light. No. Here's what I gotta say, Kevin James.
That's weird.
I have watched/listened to his stand-up.
Oh, okay.
I find it pretty funny. Mm. It's a bit gender essentialist because it's very mainstream. He's not alt comedy at all. He's a very mainstream sort of comic, and so some of it I don't relate to as well, but no, he's pretty funny. I used to watch more of his stuff and things like that. He's not anywhere near my top comics, but he was funny enough as a stand-up. Again, an era where I would watch any sitcom. I watched a fair bit of King of Queens. I never really liked it, or any of his sitcoms, really. I've never really, because they're a little too broad for me. Because they're very broad. And then other than that, he's just done movie after movie produced by Adam Sandler. And I understand that the Adam Sandler, my friends get to go on vacation and we make a movie machine, makes a lot of money and is very popular. I am a huge elitist snob about it. The little bits I've seen, I fucking can't stand. And I'm not interested. I don't find them funny. I'll put it this way. Had you said to me, like David Spade? I'd go, oh? And if you'd say, I really enjoyed him back on SNL, I'd be like, oh, yeah. But if you'd say, yeah, the stuff he's doing now is great, I would have been like, what? And Kevin James is kind of David Spade without the time on SNL. That's not fair to Kevin James, actually. I think he's funnier than David Spade. I also really enjoyed Just Shoot Me, so I don't know. And Eight Simple Rules, where he showed up after John Ritter died. This is a terrible analogy. You're fine. You're fine.
Okay, good. Glad I'm fine.
And then after King of Queens, he had a TV show called Kevin Can Wait. And then just recently, a new TV show has come out called Kevin Can Fuck Himself. Sorry, Kevin Can Go Fuck Himself. I haven't seen it. I've heard very good things. It's Kevin Can Go F asterisk CK himself. And it appears to be basically a story in which, because Kevin James's sitcoms were the same one that all the 90s sitcoms were. Dumpy looking dude has abnormally attractive wife, and hijinks ensue that all revolve around him, usually doing things he shouldn't, and then afterwards being a sad boy about it and being forgiven.
The Flintstones formula, really.
Basically, yes. Honeymooners, all that shit.
Yeah, honeymooners.
As near as I can tell, Kevin Can Fuck Himself is basically a woman who realizes that's the life she's in and decides she's not going to take this shit anymore. And so apparently it's pretty fun. But I do think it's funny because they very clearly took it from Kevin Can Wait, which was the last Kevin James sitcom that happened. So I feel like that's a pretty hard, that's not a nod toward, that's a finger pointing at, which I think is funny. All right. Well, I thought we might do more, but we got really caught up in
Kevin James.
No, before then.
Oh.
Were we bitching about your school, or was that last week?
No, that was this time.
But... All right. Yeah, that was it. No one should ever trust William as a therapist because he's being taught by psychos. Next week, I have no idea what the situation will be exactly. I think we've proven we can do it.
You mean
online
for them the week after?
Vis-a-vis the pod. Yeah, next week for them. Yeah. They're listening. I'm not talking to you right now. This doesn't concern you. You don't know what's happening here. No, I don't. This is about us.
Sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt.
A and B, see yourself out. next week for you.
That's good.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Next week. Can we call the episode William Can Go Fuck Himself? No, we won't. I don't know what the setups are going to be. It might be here in a different format that works better. It might be online. We might break into somebody else's house. I don't know. But we'll have something. I mean, when do we not? We're good at this all the time. You'll have something, even if it sucks, because it usually does. And until then, bug spray. Not sponsored, not affiliated.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.